Bible, and I feel bad. I left my Bible in my truck. I drove my clunker car this morning. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30. It's good to see some of our sweet folks from the Ashtabula campus here this morning. Proverbs 15 and 30, it just simply says this: the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. I want to preach to you on the topic, the report is out. And you going to pray for us?
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would just continue to flow, Lord. I pray that you anoint the word that you have given, Pastor. I pray that you just open up our ears and we can hear this word that you have given us. We'll be able to use it in our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen.
A good report maketh the bones fat. Or you can read it this way: good news puts fat on the bones. Now, we understand that is metaphorically applied, not literally. When you think of a report, just for a moment, think about all of the reports in Congress that we have followed this year, investigations, and we all wait for that final report to come out. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to hear what the report says. The word report, it just simply means something heard by way of an announcement, news, or a rumor. Something heard by way of an announcement, news, or rumor, which means, in essence, every day of our lives, we are receiving regular reports from around the world. Announcement, news, or a rumor. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 32. And then we're going to go to chapter 14 after that, verse 1. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying that the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched. And they brought this report to the children of Israel. Chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, I'm not done reading, but these two verses should give us a solid understanding of how valuable a good report is. The Bible says a good report puts fat on the bones, which means it makes us healthy, makes us strong. And if that is applied metaphorically, you must consider spiritual health and emotional strength. And because of the evil report that the 10 spies brought up out of the land, it did not only did it not put fat on the bones, but it caused them to weep all night long. And they lifted up their voice in anguish because the report had completely deflated all of their hopes and all of their dreams. All of the time they had spent up to this moment coming into Canaan. And because 10 individuals brought up an evil report of that land, everything had fallen apart just in mere moments. It's how it tells us how important a word fitly spoken is. goes on to say, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now, we'll probably be a little somber here for the first half, but let me get to the end and finish if I may. They murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Pastor always gets the flack. He didn't bring up the report, but because the 10 nitwits that did bring up the evil report, who'd they complain to? And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. Remember what I said to you this morning? They said, would God have had us died in Egypt or died in the wilderness? Meaning, we'd have rather died in Egypt. We'd have rather died in captivity. We'd have rather died in bondage, because at least there we knew what tomorrow held. Even if tomorrow meant do what I tell you to do and do what I say and keep your mouth shut and don't come against it. That's in essence what has transpired. Because, now hear me if you would, people would rather be assured. If you ever talk to somebody who's been in prison, they'll tell you there's something about it. There's a serenity, especially over time, that they get used to. And they will tell you, I have talked to many people, and they'll tell you, at least I know I have food there. At least I know what tomorrow holds there. And I talked to one young man years ago who kept going back, and I asked him, I said, why do you keep going down this same path? And he said, well, he goes, to be honest with you, he goes, this is kind of like home to me. This was the mindset of the Israelites. Would God have had us die in Egypt where we had food, we had a bed, we at least knew what tomorrow held? Or would God have us die out here in the wilderness where we don't know what tomorrow holds? The enemy will always exploit uncertainty. That's why this entire issue that we have dealt with this year has been such a powerful issue to contend with. Because there's so much uncertainty. And guess what? The only thing we have to go off is somebody's report of the issue. Now, I don't know about you, and I appreciate Mike DeWine, and I guess he made a very strong comment this week. They tried to nail him down, and he said, I have not tried to interfere or shut churches down from the beginning, and I'm glad he didn't, because I didn't want to have to fight the guy. But, and I appreciate that, but I don't know about you, but some time ago, I don't care about his website. I didn't care about how many new cases there were. Not because I'm insensitive, because that evil report will weigh on your spirit. It'll cause you to go to bed every night, like someone told me recently. They said, I can't even sleep at night. I'm so scared. That's what a report like that does to us. But see, we are Americans. We have inquiring minds, and we've got to know. But knowing doesn't do anything for you. Not one thing. Does nothing. Nothing at all. They tell you, you test positive, go home and stay there. What else? That's it. Okay. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? I'm not preaching about COVID today, don't worry. It just happens to be the topic at hand. Had the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Boy, I tell you what, man, I tell you, there's just so much similarities here, just scary to me. Would he have brought us into this land? Would God have given us this promise only to watch our wives and our children fall to prey, to be killed, to be imprisoned or whatever? Would it not have been better had we went back to Egypt? But you understand, God's plan doesn't always, or rarely does it include answers all the time, because we are to walk by faith. We're not to live by what we see. And they went on and said, they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. To put that into perspective, you might answer, that's when someone says, we're going to go to a different church. We'll pick our own pastor. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. The two that did not partake in this evil report, the two that brought up a positive report and said, we'll be okay. I understand that one. Sometimes people don't want to hear that. Sometimes people don't want to hear God will take care of us. Now let me say it again, because some of y'all might not be back anyway. I'm just kidding. I have found people don't want to hear sometimes that God will take care of us. I've had people tell me, I've heard that my whole life, God will take care of us. Well, he ain't done so yet. And so Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes, the Bible says, and they spake unto all the company, the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, we can relate to this because we all want a good positive message when we go to church. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't mean this with any cynicalness. Is cynicalness a word? It is now. I don't mean it with any cynicalness at all. But I have found, I had one person, God loved them, I loved them. They told me they quit live streaming because they got sick and tired of hearing me preach about faith. You think I'm making this stuff up? Told me to my face. I was watching, Pastor, but I got tired of you up there telling. Well, I apologize. Their words were that I was always telling people how afraid they were, which I never did that. Go back and listen to the messages. I felt very compelled in the beginning of this to preach faith, to try and encourage people and lift them up through all of this. And y'all know me. So I'd have thought people, and this is what Joshua and Caleb did. They said, hey, don't worry about this. If the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land. He promised it to us. It does flow with milk and honey like he promised. Just we cannot rebel against the Lord. Let's not be afraid of the people in the land. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. Don't fear them. But all the congregation bade to stone them with stones. Now I want you to really process that just for a moment. That's how powerful a report is. In this case, it was an evil report. They had nothing but evil things to say about the land that God had promised to bring them into. Why? Because we can't see it. Can you hear my black thing over there? Because we can't see something, it bothers us. It vexes us. It frustrates us. I want to tell you something. We don't know what's going to happen over the next days and weeks and months and years to come. But God does. And the only thing that we can do is trust in the voice of the Lord. Trust in the voice of the Lord. I didn't say trust in the Lord. I said trust in the voice of the Lord. And I'm going to share with you again what I shared with the church on Wednesday night because I felt compelled. I put this together, and as I'm finishing it up this morning, I felt like God reminded me again what he spoke this past week and what I shared with you on Wednesday night. And they bade to stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle out of the congregation before all of Israel. God had to show up and stop before they stoned Joshua and Caleb. Why? For saying, let's trust in the Lord. God will bring us into the land that he promised. God will not abandon us. God will follow through with what he said he will do. But because of that report, they were almost killed. Going down to verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up an evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb, the sons of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. To translate that for you and to put it in a clearer perspective, those men, those 10 spies that brought up the evil report, they died in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb, they went on into Canaan. They had to wait a little longer, but they went on into their promise. They still inherited what God had promised them. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's frustrating because you can have doubters and disputers that they will limit or they will restrict the revival of the church. And you've got naysayers and people that are listening to the wrong reports and they're echoing those things everywhere they go. And what they'll do is they'll cripple, at least for a season, what God is trying to do. The church will always come into the fulfillment of God's promises, but it might be delayed because of those that bring up evil reports of the land. And so, the report that we speak or receive can have powerful consequences in our lives, or it can be a powerful asset to us. Something as simple as a word from the Lord. I've shared this with you many times, but I'm going to share it again. Years ago, I'd wrestled with something for a large portion of my life, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've always had a fear of leaving my kids behind without a father. It's been the single greatest struggle of my life, and there have been times, many times in my life, this intense fear just came into me. And one such morning, this fear came upon me, and it weighed me down. It vexed me. And I went down, and I was getting on the treadmill, and I was reading my Bible, and I wound up in, I think it's Psalms 91, is it? And all I remember is the verses that He will give you long life. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I needed that report this morning. I needed that. It was very timely for me. Don't discount those things that God does for you. Don't discount those words at very critical moments. At a moment when you need a report into your life, God will send the report, whether it be through somebody or whether it be through His direct word. Do not discount the report that God will send at the most critical times of your life. He's trying to remind you that He's still on it, that God is still in the picture, and that God is not going to allow you to fall prey to the wickedness of this world. But we've got to be careful what report we choose to listen to, because the report that you receive in your spirit, it can cripple you emotionally, it can cripple you spiritually, and it can rob from you what God wants to do in your life. The report is absolutely vital that you receive. Be very, very careful on what you receive into your spirit. Be careful what you allow into your ears. Do not let just anybody give a report into your life. And so Wednesday night, the Lord gave me a report that I shared with the church. And I'm going to read it again. I didn't plan on it, but I felt like I should. And this is what God said. And here's why I believe this is critical. Again, the timing. He wants us to listen to Him. He wants us to hear what He has to say during this time. I wish I could get you to feel what I feel right now as I say those words. God wants us to slow down all the chaos in life. And He wants us to be able to find a place of serenity where we can hear the voice of the Lord. And it's very difficult to do in the midst of chaos and fear and turmoil and doubt and anxiety. And sometimes we just got to be able, I'm gonna plead with you to find a prayer closet in your house and lock yourself away each day, even if for 15 or 20 minutes. And it'd be good if you could do an hour or so, because there's something about it once you get your mind off of the things of this world and off of all the news reports and off of all of the social media reports and off all the reports your friends are texting you, and you get your mind off of that, and you're able to finally block an aisle out where you can just hear the precious voice of the Lord and let Him speak to you during those most important times of your life. So the Lord said, I'm going to speak to this church. I wrote this as God spoke it to me. If you don't want to receive this report, then you don't have to. But I know what God did, and I don't have enough gumption to say God gave it to me if He didn't. I'm going to speak to this church when they open their ears and listen. Thus far they have heard me, but their hearing has been selective and motivated by flesh. I see their heart and their desires that they would have more of me. But before they can have more of me, they have to hear more from me. We have got to hear His report. What the Lord, I don't care what Fauci has to say. I don't care what the experts have to say. I want to know what Jesus has to say, because He's the author of all of it. I'll listen, but His word trumps everybody else's. Before they can have more of me, they have to hear more from me. Tell them to teach themselves to focus on my voice and to pray that their listening ears will be open and attentive to my voice. I want to do more than what I've done, and I've promised to do more, but they have rejected my servant. Not a blatant rejection, but a rejection of the preached word by either dismissing or treating my word as just another word, as if my word was comparable to the words that are spoken in this world. Hear me, saith the Lord. I promise you, God wants to speak to us in this hour more than any before. If we fall prey to the wickedness in this world and to the chaos and the madness, it's only because we are not giving our ear to the Lord and we're not hearing what His report is. Listen to what everybody else has to say, and at the end of the day, hey, I got a question for you. What did Paul and all those guys do when they didn't have a newspaper to read or an internet article? How did they function, man? I mean, how in the world did those poor people get along? They didn't have Facebook to send. I mean, to do what to share, you know, freely or not so freely, and that they didn't have the media, and they didn't have the, you know, whatever else you got. Every news article and every news outlet in the world, they didn't have none of those things. How did they function? How did they make it? How did they survive? I don't know about you, and you do what you've got to do, but I've chosen to turn off the media a long time ago, and I'll still read some stuff, and I got to confess to you, I'm selective about some of the sites that I go to, because I don't want to hear just negative, 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 negative. I might read, I might look for something specific, a specific interest, that I'm seeking some answers, but ultimately, I don't want all that nonsense in my mind. It makes no difference. If you turn on your phone right now and you get a report that says there's a tsunami heading towards the United States of America, what are you going to do about it? Well, we could pray, Pastor. You should have been praying already. Don't wait until disaster strikes to pray. That's the whole wrong approach. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He said, during those times in my life, which is not now, future tense, when I feel overwhelmed by it all, he says, take me to a place that's above all of that stuff. Take me to a place that's higher than all, where I don't have to see all that nonsense. It's kind of like, since I don't have a life, I kind of get addicted to videos. I'm going to be honest with you. And sometimes I'll just lay there and find some stuff. And I come across all these, I wouldn't call them nature videos, but they were videos from around the world of like waterfalls and this. And oh my, one of them, just this mountain and just this water had to be falling 500-600 feet just straight down. I thought, wow, how beautiful. And then I thought, wow, how bad that would be to be in it. That's the way my mind works. You see, from a distance, everything looks great. It's when you get too close, sometimes, where it can be troublesome. It's okay for the Lord to allow the Lord to take us above all of this for a season. It's okay to ask the Lord to lift me up above this top, God, and let me hear what you've got to say right now. I'm telling you, there's nothing you do. You should seek to hear from the Lord now more than you've ever heard from Him. If there's nothing that you ask God, ask Him, let me hear your voice. Let me hear what you've got to say. If I go through a season of drought in my prayer life, I tell God, God, I haven't heard something in a while. I need to hear something from you. I need some confirmation. I need something. I need a report from heaven that tells me I'm still where you want me to be. So, if I believe his report, what report is that? It's a pretty vast report. No, bring that with you. Now, this is a condensed version of his report. This one has some close to 1,200 pages in it. It's a lengthy report. We're Americans, man. We don't have time for this stuff. Just give me a summary. Who wants to read this lengthy report? But guess what? When you read the lengthy report and you find out all the details, you don't need somebody else to give you their opinion of how to interpret the report. You've got your own opinion. You can see this is what thus and thus saith the Lord. But people have become too accustomed to summarizing. I admit, I am too. They put one of these reports out, and I'm like, okay, just give me a summary. What does it mean? I don't have time to read 1,800 pages. That's why these dingbats in Washington write it so long, because they don't want anybody to read it. It's the truth. I mean, my God, I could say that, it takes strategy to slowly imprison people. So if I believe his report, to try and keep it simple for you, number one, I need to make sure my home is ready for his arrival. Or my temple. I need to make sure. How many of you? Now come on, ladies. I should be getting some amens and hooting and hollering. And you should be jumping up out of your chair right now. You got company coming over? Man, you're like working like a mad dog getting a house clean. You got candles going everywhere. You're spraying the dogs with Febreze. Throwing the cat outside with the litter box for a while until they get there. You're vacuuming and you're mopping the floors and people walk in. Oh, your house is so nice. You should have seen it an hour ago. Why? Because we work hard to get our home ready for a guest when they come. But I got news for you. This temple of the Holy Ghost, Jesus is coming for it. And we've got to have this temple ready. We've got to have our house in order. So when he comes and he comes knocking, I'll be able to hear his voice and recognize who he is. Why? Because I have spent time preparing my temple, my home, for his arrival. Why would you do that? Because the report said that he's coming soon. The report said, as you see the leaves on the trees changing, so you will understand also when you see all of these things that the return of the Lord is near. Well, Pastor, I don't want that. That's too depressing. I don't want to hear all that. As it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving. We don't want to hear all that negative stuff. I just want to have fun and enjoy life. But the sad reality is we are living that, I'll keep saying it until you're tired of me saying it, we're living that prophetic fulfillment. We are, in my opinion, the rapture generation. Listen to me. So what does that mean? That means we can't go on like we've been. Things cannot be the way, I can't let myself get caught up in the things of the world because it will suck you. Hey, let me ask you a question. You might have to come play for me in a minute, honey. And I'm being serious. I'm not trying to keep all this stuff in the political. Does someone tell me why? Tell me why mom and pop can't keep their restaurant open that might have, you know, 7 or 8 people ever, but you can still go get, and I don't even know how many people are on the, where's Jerome? He's over there. How many people are on the line, offense and defense, when they're playing football? 11. So you got 22 people all right in each other's faces, man. I mean, they're sticking their face in each other's rear ends, tackling them. You know, they're manhandling each other. And then the basketball gurus, that's worse yet, man. I mean, they're rubbing all over each other, sweating all over each other, spitting all over in them when they're trying to. That's okay. Now, I'm making a point here. I'm making a point, but mom and pop, no, you can't get together. I appreciated one of the Supreme Court, or no, I'm sorry, the California court judge who overruled the Hitler in California. I know his name. That's what he is. He overruled him, and he said, you can't tell me it's safe for people to walk down an aisle of Walmart, but it's safe for them to walk down a church aisle. That's what he said. Well, thank God. There are a few people with common sense in California. It's true. But why do I say that? I don't remember. There was a point in my message. Yeah, being ready, maybe that was part of it. I don't know. As who was that? One of these young guys. Oh, Tyler. Made a remark up here about my aging that I won't even share. He'll get his one day. I can't even share it from the pulpit. That's how bad it is. We make a choice on what report to believe. It's purely a choice. The reason we have the dysfunction in America is because we choose to believe. I don't believe that, Pastor. I don't believe that. Then we go out there in the media and we'll listen to these people you don't know, people you've never heard, people you have no clue what their agendas are. The doctor said. But there are 30,000 other doctors who said, no. But we don't listen to none of those. But we choose what reports to believe. I'm not being critical. I'm just talking generally. We choose. I may preach something you like and someone else might preach it you disagree with, and we choose. Now, the goal is ultimately to allow the Lord's report to be the final report in my life, the final report that goes through my mind, the final say in all of life's matters. The report has been out. It's just a matter of, are we willing to read the report or not? In Mark 16 and 9, this struggle with trusting the Lord's report has been from the beginning. Most notably, the Exodus. They struggled with the report of the Lord from the moment Moses walked into Egypt with the report that the Lord was going to bring you out. They struggled. And that same struggle carried on into the New Testament. Mark 16 and 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast devils, 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Now all she's doing is echoing the written report. She was only echoing the written report. After 3 days, he'll rise again. She was only echoing his oral report. He said, after 3 days, I'll rise again. But here they are, 3 days later. Mary comes running in while they're weeping still over the Lord's death. And she said, he's alive. Oh, that's ridiculous. How is it that we can have the report of the Lord preached to us? We can have it in physical form to read. We can have it prophesied, but sometimes we have such a hard time receiving the report of the Lord. And after that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked, and he went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. He's alive. He's alive. Oh my God. You're drinking again. What are you on? We saw him buried. We saw the final act. We saw him breathe his last breath. We followed as they wrapped him in that cloth and stuck him in the tomb and put that immovable rock in front of it. We witnessed it with our eyes. And certainly if you can see it with your eyes, then nothing else is logical. But God is not a God of logic. He's a God of divine nature. He's a God that does the impossible. He's a God that can step in when all hope has faded away and he still has the answer. He's a God that does not fail. He's a God that does not give up. He's a God that is not caught off guard. He's a God that cannot say, "Oh, there's no hope. I'm sorry, Mr. So-and-so, there's just no hope." Those words are not ever found in his report. But somehow, these disciples just kept. They had a hard time listening to what report to listen to. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. I have three more short texts to read to you. Isaiah 53 and 1. I want you to notice that question mark after the first verse. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Question mark. Who? We've given the report. Is there anybody that believes it? Week after week, Brother Jerry, we get up and we give the report. What is that report? Whatever report the Lord has for the day. Whatever his daily briefing is. Today it might be, it's all right. Repent. God will take your sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. That's the daily report. Tomorrow it might be you stiff-necked and hardened in heart, stubborn. As your fathers resisted the Holy Ghost, so do you. That's the report of the day. The next day it might be the day of the Lord is at hand. His return is near. Whatever that report, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Deuteronomy 2 and 25. The Lord said, "This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. Who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee?" Speaking of the Israelites, said they will tremble when they hear the report of you. Why? Because they heard the report of the great and mighty acts that God did, the miracles and bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them ultimately into their promise. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Even the adversaries of Israel knew that God has proven himself. His report has always been true, time and time and time again. I want you to know that still stands true today. The adversary, the devil, he knows that if you're walking with the Lord, he knows if you're faithful to him, you might be rejected in this life. But God has his hand of approval upon your life. And I want to say again, there is no devil and there is no disease that can harm you if you are where God, until it's God's timing. Until it's God's timing. What report are you going to believe today? Listen to this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And just to clarify, I can hear somebody. Are you saying we're not supposed to believe the doctors? Well, no. I think the doctors have a good purpose. I go to them. I have an appointment coming up. I want to hear what they got to say. But ultimately, whatever they say, I need them to understand the Lord's report trumps theirs. That's all I got to say. Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing. Meaning, don't become too carefree in this life. It might feel good for the moment, but it will certainly cost you your soul if you're not careful. Be careful for nothing. I'm a seatbelt wearer. I don't know how many of you aren't. But sometimes I'll pull out of Sanders driving a mile and a half down the road to my house. And I'm like, I ain't put my seatbelt on. And then that thought comes into my mind, be careful for nothing. It only takes 20 feet for someone to cross the center line, hit you head on. It only takes one car. Well, you're gloom and doom. No, I'm just trying to be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now watch this, because I'm going to point something out to you. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're not done. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now watch this. If you want the peace of God that passes all understanding, all of your ability to understand, to comprehend, to confront life, if you want that peace of God that will give you peace in the middle of a pandemic, if you want that peace, then you've got to think on these things. You've got to allow those things that are honest and pure and true and just, and whatsoever things are lovely and of a good report. You cannot have evil reports coming into your life every day and think that you'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Sometimes you got to shut their reports off and get your report, and this is the only report that matters. Someday you got to open the book and say, Lord, I need to know what your report is saying to me today. I need something. I need a briefing, God, in my life this morning from somebody other than Fox or CNN or NBC or MSNBC or anybody else. If you want the peace that passes all understanding, you've got to think on these things. Those things which you have both learned, past tense, and received, and heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. If you want God to give you peace, not just in this, but I think the Lord has made the odds so insurmountable that there's only one way. Listen to me, please. There's only one way we're going to find peace. Listen to my report this morning in conclusion of my report. The only way we're going to find peace. God has made the odds so insurmountable. He said the only way is if you're going to think on some of these things. The only way is if you go back to those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me and seen me do. And then after all of that, then the God of peace will be with you. I'll translate that for you. Well, you know, if a tsunami ever struck Asheville County You know, I just have to trust the Lord. Tsunamis come to Asheville County. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh God, we don't have any high ground. God, what are we going to do? I'm telling you, if you say it before it ever happens and you believe it, then believe it while you're in the middle of it. If you believe it when it's not all around you, believe it when it's all around you. Go back to the things that you've heard. Go back to the things that you've learned. Go back to the things that the Lord has shown you. Go back to the things that you have seen. Because sometimes you might need a little encouragement to believe the report of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but if I look back over my time, I've seen His report come true time and time again. I've seen God do crazy things. I've seen people cast out, delivered from devils. I've seen people healed in moments. I've seen tumors go like that. I have been privy to those things. You know what that means? If He did it then, He'll do it again. He's still the God of yesterday and today and forever. And He changes not. The world might change. Everything around us might change. But Jesus has never changed. He'll still do it if we'll listen to His report. Would you lift your hands and tell God, I receive your report into my spirit right now? Would you do that with all sincerity and all humility? Lord, I receive your report into my spirit. I receive your report into my spirit. Somebody, whose report are you going to believe this morning? I'm going to listen to His report. I'm going to hear what He has to say. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, don't you give up just yet. Give God just a little bit more. Give Him a little bit more. He's got a report for wherever you are right now. Whatever's going on in your life, there's a report in that book. Whatever's going on, there's a report in there. You can find it. You can see what it says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
I said, whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the
His report, His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Whose report will you believe?
The report of the Lord.
I said, whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
I said, whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
I said, whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the
His report.
His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Oh, jump, jump in the river.
Jump in the river.
Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost.
Jump in the river.
Jump in the river.
Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost.
Hey, listen to this report. It says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Come on, somebody. What report are you going to believe? I'm not done until I'm out of this world. Hallelujah.
Oh, whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
I said, whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report.
His report. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Oh, jump, jump in the river. Jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river, jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river, jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river, jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, his report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Oh, John. Jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river, jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Oh, whose report will you believe?
Believe the report of the Lord.
I said, whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Yes. Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of
his report.
The Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Oh, jump, jump in the river.
Jump in the river.
Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river. Jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river. Jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jump in the river. Jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost.
How about this report? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You don't have to worry about your past imprisoning you. You just got to worry about getting as much Jesus as you can in your life and leave all that stuff. The devil might bring it up, but it's not the Lord. He said it's gone. It's done away with. Somebody embrace that report right now.
His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Oh, jump in the river, jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, jump in the river. Jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost. Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report.
His report. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, jump in the river, jump in the river. Jump in the river of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. All right, we're going to baptize Faith Allen.